Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
We had a monumental week this week. How many of you were able to be at the Breaking Ground ceremony this week? And how many of you wish you could have came? Oh, you wish you could have came. Well, we're going to take you there in just a moment. And I'm so excited about this new... In fact, today's message, look how creative I am. I'm entitling today's message, Breaking Ground. And so I'm so excited to preach to you today and share with you. I hope you get inspired today and really to take the next step in your own journey. And it is about steps. It's still a journey. No matter where you're at with Christ, if you've served Jesus for 30 years or you're brand new, and we have a lot of brand news, God always just wants you to take the next step. What's next? And I want to talk to you about breaking some ground in your life. In fact, let me go ahead and jump into the message today, and I'll show you, I'll take you to the Breaking Ground ceremony in just a little bit off a video clip. But I want to take you to the book of Hosea. I want to go to an Old Testament scripture. In fact, I shared this during the Breaking Ground ceremony, this particular passage that I'm going to read today. I'm going to take you to the book of Hosea, chapter 10, and I want to just read this to you, and then I'm going to share off of each of the yellow points that are in here in the scripture today. And this is, let me give you a little context before we read. This is the prophet Hosea. He was Jewish. He was not a Mexican. Hosea. Yeah, no, he was not Latino. He is a prophet. He's a prophet to Israel. He was a little more eccentric than most of the Old Testament prophets. In fact, he would actually act out, if you will, some of his prophetic messages to Israel, to the people of God, God's chosen people. And I'll share a little bit of that in just a moment. So he was a little different, kind of a horse of a different color, equine of a different hue. He actually married a prostitute, married an unfaithful woman that was going to be unfaithful to him. And he knew it, but God told him to do it, to marry her. And he marries her and loves her and waits for her. And the reason why God wanted him to marry her was so that he could show Israel what Israel was doing to God. And so because he was in the place of God, he represented God, he married this unfaithful woman, and the unfaithful woman was Israel. And here's what Israel was doing, and it's a cycle, and we got to be careful because you'll get in the same cycle. What would happen to Israel is they would be down, no prosperity, down on their luck, and they would seek God. God would answer. God would show up, and then he would begin to bless them, and then they would begin to prosper. And when you begin to prosper, you have margin. And when he began to margin, how many know prosperity? When you start getting prospered, all that really means is you have more options. You got more money, you got more options. Listen, you got more money, you got more options. When you call to get your airline tickets and they say, you want coach or first class? How many know if you got more money, you got options? How many of you ain't got no options? You go like, put me in the back. you got to walk by them when you walk in. Go, man, I wish one day I could ride up here. But you ain't got no option. So that's what's happening to Israel. They were down. They sought God. God blessed. Now they're prospering. And guess what happens when you have more options? Do you want to go to church today or you want to go to the camp? What row? Bad pastor. When you have more, you have more options. Well, guess what happened? They started taking their options and they got further and further and further and further from God, the unfaithful woman. And because they were, then guess what God does? He removes his hand, he removes his blessing, because God would rather have you down seeking him than prosperous and doing your own thing. Are y'all hearing it? Don't think this is just Israel, because you have to fight that in your own life. I have to fight it in mine. That not forgetting where all blessing and all good things came from. That it should cause us to seek the Lord. It was David who wrote. It was the kindness. It was the goodness of the Lord that caused my heart to repent towards God. And that's why God would say, here's a man after my own heart. That no matter what was going on in their life. Let's be honest. Most of us didn't come to faith in Jesus until something bad happened. And then you go, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And somebody invited you to church. I guess I'll try God. And then God started blessing and prospering. And then we go, where you been? Oh, man, we've been busy. No, what are you saying? No, I started prospering. And then I got more options. And then I chose my options over God. And so here he comes back again. So here's the prophet Hosea coming to the people saying, hey. You got in this situation because you forgot about God. And he said, but there's good news. And he said, I'm actually reading a good portion of the scripture. He gives plenty of bad news. But this is a good, and he's telling this unfaithful woman, Israel. He's saying to them, God's people, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to sow righteousness for yourselves. If you do, you're going to reap the fruit of this unfailing love. Anytime you sow the right thing, it always pays you back something. Anytime you do what's right. I'll talk about it in a moment. And then read this with me. And I want you to what? Break up your unplowed ground. And then he goes to the third part. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes back again. And he's going to shower his righteousness on you. And he actually mentions, Hosea mentions three things, and I think Hosea is preaching to us today. And I want to just walk through those three things, and I want to tell you some stories, some real life stories that have happened at Our Savior's Church over the last few months. And you're going to be inspired by them, and I hope you'll hear this as a word from the Lord. Let's go to number one, where Hosea tells Israel, I want you to sow righteousness, or I'm going to call it, I want you to do the right thing. Everybody say, do the right thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, do the right thing. Turn to your neighbor you didn't choose and say, do the right thing. I want you to do that. What is doing the right thing? What does righteousness really mean? Righteousness, that's a kind of a Bible word. Pastor Jacob, I've heard him say this for years. Righteousness is simply right choiceness. It's when you have some choices, you do the right thing. I've noticed about the right thing is usually not the easiest thing. It's usually the hardest thing to do. Can I get an amen? When you do the right thing, it's usually hard. It's usually harder. Pastor Steve said it last week in that message, which I want to encourage you to listen to. He said, righteousness simply means doing it God's way. That no matter what the subject is, would it be marriage, we're going to do it God's way. We're raising children, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to, when God's word opposes our opinion, we're going to end up going with God's way instead of our way. I shared at the groundbreaking ceremony, I said, I never thought I would be in Opelousas, Louisiana. I always thought I was a big city kind of guy. I thought one day my ministry would take me to Houston, Texas, or maybe to San Antonio or Dallas, a big city. I thought one day, New York, maybe, Chicago, L.A., baby, here I come. But how many of you know, God came in and said, we got different plans. I'm going to send you to O-Town, baby, Opelousas, Louisiana. I had a choice. I had to choose. What was I going to do it my way or do it God's way? And by the way, I just want to tell you, the greatest joy of our life, and I told at the groundbreaking ceremony, the greatest move I've ever made. I haven't got them all right, but I got the big ones right. I got who I was going to marry right, who I was going to serve right, and I got where I was going to spend the rest of my ministry right when I came to Opelousas, Louisiana. Y'all are the most fantastic people in all the world. Who needs L.A.? New York, who? And so this is the joy of our life, and I mean that. You ain't second choice, baby. We got the bell of the ball when we got you, and I mean that. Y'all, we love y'all. We're in love with you, and we think you're the most amazing people on the face of the earth. And so what an honor it is. How many of you know doing God's thing is not always the easiest thing? It's just, but he promises, and Hosea reminds us, look, when you sow by doing what's right, you're going to reap something from it. How many of you thank God he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who do it God's way? He will reward you when you do it his way. I didn't make it up. God said it. So just do it God's way. You're going to face it. How many of you know doing it God's way is easy in here on Sunday morning? Doing it God's way, the challenge is tomorrow when you got to go back to the boss that is the devil and you're going to have to go back and work for him again. How many of you know that's when it's going to get hard tomorrow? Do it God's way. By the way, do righteousness. That also applies to your Facebook accounts. It still amazes me how you can bless the Lord on Sunday and then get on Facebook and the curses that come out. Bad pastor. Some of you got baptized, but you held up your phone. You should have took your phone down with you underneath the water. Get your Facebook saved. I'm preaching now, aren't I? Hey, political season is coming. Some of you need to learn when righteousness can't come out, you got to just keep your mouth shut because you represent a higher calling than this world. So, righteousness. If you sow it, there's going to be some reaping that comes back out of that. God's going to show up on your behalf. You're inviting the blessing of the Lord upon you. But I want to get to number two because I'm going to spend some time here. And then he says to him, then I want you to break up. Everybody say break up. I want you to break some ground. And of course, this past week, or I'm going to call it, do a new thing. Do a new thing. And of course, this week was incredible for us. And I think Uncle Russ said it in his prayer. It represented something. It represented a change of season. How many know this has been a long 8 years. We've been setting up, breaking down, dreaming, believing, talking, saying. But the breaking of ground was the culmination of a change of season. The wind has shifted. And I believe that not only for our church, but I believe that for you. There's going to be a shift where the wind's no longer at your face, but the wind comes behind you and it's at your back. And how many know it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it's easier than it has been before. Do you receive that? Some of you ought to be going, I receive that. That the shift is going to happen in your own life. And so we're watching this, and Wednesday was the day that we broke ground. Say broke ground. Yeah, it was a day that there was a breaking of ground. Hosea's telling, hey, Israel, do the right thing, but you're also going to have to do a new thing. You're going to have to break some ground that's never been broken. Let me tell you a couple of stories that you didn't know about. In fact, I'm just learning about them. While we're at the breaking ground, you want me to take you there? Let me give you just a quick highlight reel of the breaking ground ceremony. If you weren't there, we can take you there real quick.
God sent us here 20 years ago to break three spirits that control our region: pride, poverty, and prejudice. To believe that even in this prejudiced area, this divided by railroad tracks and racism and even politics, that we can unite together at the cross of Jesus Christ and love Jesus together and change a community. We're going to see crime go down. We're going to see the economy go up. And we're going to see God be glorified in our community.
Come on, give the Lord a shout. The breaking of ground. Yeah, do you know that field's always been a field? That land out there has always been a field. In fact, it's been a field since God said, let there be the earth. and he created it, and dry land came up, and that's what that place has been since the creation of time. And that field was never going to produce anything until somebody put a shovel in the ground and broke some ground. And now it's going to fulfill its purpose that has been since the creation, the beginning of time. It's about to fulfill its purpose. There is going to be a place there that we would call the house of God, where the lost can be found, reaching people and building lives. And you've been a part of building it and seeing its destiny fulfilled. Isn't that awesome? Come on. So, I didn't know this, one of our young girls, and I'd say probably in the 19, 20-ish age, and some of our other young girls who are young women now, one of them was there. It was Mary Catherine Tolson. I don't know if Mary Catherine's here today. They usually sit up there. She is. There she is. There's Mary Catherine. And Mary Catherine, after the breaking ground ceremony, comes up and shows me a picture. And it's a picture of when these Mary Catherine and the Lestrap girls, Mallory, Maddie, and Molly, who all attend church here. And so now they're getting into their college age and young adulthood. And she shows me this picture of when their neighbors, Mary Catherine Tolson, and the Lestrap girls are neighbors, that they actually went out on that field when they were small. I'm talking like 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, went on that field to take a picture together. And it's a picture. In fact, I'll show it to you. You'll see this picture. It's a photo. It's a photo of four little girls arm in arm. And she showed it to me with tears running down her face at the breaking ground ceremony. She goes, Pastor Yu, it was years ago. We came out here and we took this picture. And we were talking. When we were taking the picture, we were talking. And we said to each other, what do you think's going to be on this field? And one of the little girls, one of the sisters said, I don't know. What do you think? And she said, I don't know. And one of the other girls said, I don't know. And then one of the other girls said, I don't know either, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And the speaking of those words over that field, now the fulfillment, out of the mouth of babes, we're going to watch that very thing happen. But it doesn't produce until you break ground. Hosea the prophet, you got to break some unplowed ground. You got to break something new that's never been done before. Some place that's laid dormant in your own heart for a long time. You have to break it if you want to produce something new. How many would like God to do something new in your life? God, I'd like more. I want God to do more in me. Well, if you want God to do more in you, you're going to have to go to some places that have never been broken, and you have to put a shovel in it, and you're going to have to turn it over. I'll tell you how in just a moment. I didn't know this either. We went to dinner with a couple that attends our church. We've known them since the Broussard days. They started attending the Opelousas campus. And the lady says to Heidi and I, she goes, did you know that I was working at Opelousas General, driving from the Lafayette area, driving up over 10 years ago, I was working at Opelousas General Hospital. She's a prayer warrior. She's an intercessor. And she said, I heard that they were going to possibly start an Opelousas campus. We didn't know who was going. Remember, back in the day when I came up here to get the launch team started, I wasn't coming. In fact, they asked Tommy and Susan Badon, who started the small group in their house, asked me, would you come and be the pastor of the Opelousas campus? And I said, that ain't never happening. That ain't happening. And she goes, back in those days, we didn't know if it was really going to happen, and we just heard a rumor that they were talking about it. So I would drive to Opelousas every day, and the Holy Spirit would put on my heart to pray for this Opelousas campus, that it would become a reality. She said, one day I'm driving down towards Opelousas, to Opelousas General Hospital, and I'm coming into Opelousas, and the Holy Spirit says, exit here. And she said, I just pulled the car, I took the exit, and I got to the stop sign, and the Holy Spirit said, turn right. And I turned right, and she said, and there was a dead end onto a field. And the Holy Spirit said, stop here. That was Harry Gilbo. She turned right to the field. And she said, and the Holy Spirit just said, stretch your hands. I'm going to do something amazing. This is where that Opelousas campus is going to go one day. Would you begin to pray over the field? She said, and I prayed over that field. And then I went to work that day, and I was walking down the hall, and there was a list of the doctor's names on the wall. And the Holy Spirit said, stop, and began to pray over the physicians, because I'm going to make the physicians in our community a part of the church, and they're going to help build that church. Did you know, probably per capita, we have more physicians in this congregation than any church in America? How many know what God was already orchestrating before the foundation of time? We're simply walking into the good works that God has already prepared and already done. Can I get an amen from this congregation? Help me out, Vic. That's sowing. Sow your righteousness. Do the right thing, but you're going to have to break up some fallow ground. Now, what does that really mean to you and me? I had the privilege of visiting with one of our, she's one of our heroes in the congregation, but you never would know. She's not like me. She's not out there like, hey! She's quiet. She's behind the scenes. And we were visiting the other day, and she said, Pastor Eugene, I finally did it. I said, what's that? And she said, well, I used to hate when you would say, if you've been in a small group, it's okay to be in a small group, but one day you're going to have to lead a small group. It's okay to receive for a while, but one day you're going to have to step out and branch. And she's been with us probably close to 7 years, probably. And she goes, you always would say that. And for 2 years, every time you would start down that road, like, you may be in a small group now, but you, hey, it may be time for you to step out and lead one. And she goes, the last time you did it, I just went, the Holy Spirit was messing with me. And she just said, this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out and I'm going to lead. You know what she was really saying? I'm going to step out and I'm going to break some ground. Remember, the ground doesn't produce anything until it's broken. And she said, I'm going to step out. And so this past semester, she started a group, a freedom group. And she went to one of her old friends from her old neighborhood who just started coming to the church and said, hey, I'm going to, kind of a reluctant leader, I'm going to start a new group. Would you please be in it with me? And her friend said, yes, I'll be in it with you. And they gathered some more girls, and she started a freedom group. And she said, oh, Pastor, this is what I was created to do. Well, little did she know, or did any of us know, that little friend that started with her, not only did she just start coming to church, but she went through the grow track and became part of the dream team, and she'd be at that door right over here every Sunday. She was the greeter at the door that I enter in. I park over here and come through, and she would always hug, kiss, just a pleasant smile. Well, she went, not only did she go through Freedom Group, but then she went to the Freedom Retreat. And at that freedom retreat, though she'd had a rough history and past, not only did she get the forgiveness she needed, but in freedom, you also learn that you got to let everybody else go. And you got to give them the freedom. You got to release them. And you could tell on her face that something new had happened after that freedom retreat. Man, she was beaming. She's serving. Just brand new baby in the house serving. Well, probably about 6-8 weeks ago, her name was Melissa, and I had the privilege of preaching at her funeral. I said the privilege. It was probably one of the most awesome funerals I've ever had the opportunity to do, because without a shadow of a doubt, her family knew, her daughter who was a Christian knew, that Mama had come to know Jesus, had been forgiven of her sins, forgiven everybody who's hurt her in her past, and she was totally free. We knew exactly where she was. She was at the right hand of the Father, and she's doing awesome at the feet of Jesus. Listen to me. I don't think this small group leader knew what was at stake that she had to break new ground. And then just a couple of weeks ago, one of the other ladies in her freedom group, we just visited with her in Baptism Sunday. Miss Alain Deville lost her husband. He was tragically murdered. And we're sitting back in that room. I don't know how you walk through that, but hearing Miss Alanda say, if it wasn't for that freedom group, if it wasn't for that, I'd be out of my mind right now. But I have this peace that I can't explain over me, that it's all going to be okay. Did you know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you a peace that passes understanding? That means you have peace when you shouldn't have peace. You can be in the middle of a storm, but you're actually in the eye of it, and you don't even know where it came from. Look at me. But that doesn't happen until there's a woman who's willing to step out and break new ground. I'd like Miss Debbie Trahan to stand. She's a living example of all of us. Miss Debbie, would you stand? What am I saying to you? Yeah. I know what's going to happen over the next few weeks. You're going to be driving by that church property, and you're going to see foundations going up. Well, first you're going to see dirt work, the dirt, and you're going to go, oh, and then you're going to start seeing foundations, right? And they're going to cement trucks pouring it. Then you're going to start seeing steel go up, and you're going to get real excited. And then they're going to start pouring the walls, because it's tilt wall construction. What does that mean? That means they build the walls right out there, and a big crane, big, huge crane is going to lift those walls up, and they're going to put them into place. And you're going to drive by, and you're going to go, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'll be out there. You'll see me. I'll be going, oh. That'll be me. Hard hat on, everything. If you see anybody running around that building, you go, there goes Pastor you right there. There you go. So excited. You're going to see nothing like that happens until the ground is broken. God's always after new ground. He's always after something new, and it doesn't matter if you've walked with Christ like me for 30 years. He's always trying to break something up. New ground. And so what am I saying to you? I want you to see it. I want you to go, what's your next step? What's the next piece of ground that God wants you to break up? And you might have been sitting in the church for a while. We will let you. But maybe you haven't gone through the growth track yet, which is membership and figuring out how to be on a dream team and what your spiritual gifts are. Maybe you need to take that next step. Let's go ahead and break that ground up and see what God does in your life through that. Maybe I don't want to go to no small group. It ain't about you. Maybe somebody needs you in that group, needs you in that group. What is that? That's breaking new ground. Maybe it's Pastor Steve's message last Sunday. You've held on like it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And maybe God's saying, no, I want you to start. I want you to start being faithful with your resources, because that's breaking new ground in you. Maybe it's here today and you were like Debbie. You've been in a small group for a long time, receiving. And now it's time to start giving, because God's after breaking new ground. You don't know what's on the other side, because nothing is produced until the ground is broken. You got to break it. You got to break the new ground. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? It's kind of quiet up in here. Yeah, and so I want you to hear me this morning. I think Hosea's preaching to us. He's saying, hey, sow righteousness. Do the right thing in our community. They're all looking. When you do things like you did yesterday, they're all watching. They, who's they? The lost. They're watching. Yesterday, y'all preached louder than any message I ever preached. You didn't inspire, you perspired. It was hotter than hell. I do not want to go to hell. And we ran out of chicken. It was like hell. It was hot and there was no chicken. That's what hell is going to be like. Hot and no chicken. But how many know, it would have been an honor to see Miss Fisher, the principal, stand there with tears in her eyes going, when they said there was a group of people coming to help, I was thinking like 20 or 30. And then look at this. Y'all have an army. 275 people all dressed in red going, where we going to get it? I'm sore today from painting. It's unique muscles that you use when you paint. I haven't used them. What was that? Listen to me. God's after new ground in you. He's after something new in you. What's the next step? Well, I like this step. I know you might like this step, but it's not about you. Well, I don't feel called to do that. Let me help you. We over-spiritualize the call of God. We over-spiritualize it. Let me do what Jesus did. He didn't tell his disciples how to preach. He didn't tell them how to build the church. He didn't tell. All he simply did is, let me help you. He saw some dirty feet, and he took his robe off, and he took a towel, and he took some water, and he grabbed their feet and said, let me wash this. And then he looks at them and says, see this example that I set before you? This is what I want you to do. How many of you know that sometimes the need that you see is the call of God? Let me say it again. The need is the call of God. Meet the need. Our worship guys, Victor's back here playing right now. Victor, gifted, talented. How many of you wish you had the ability to be up here, but you ain't got it? I've heard you sing. You ain't got it. You wish you could, but you can't. How many wish we could lip sync? We could just put you up here, turn the mic off, and you could just... How many of you could be a great worship leader if the mic was not on? I mean, you got all the moves down. There's a new move. See, it's up and back. Yeah. You got the moves, baby, but you ain't got the voice. You know, the call. And it takes talent to do that. I mean, you got to practice. Victor didn't just stand back here and just play because the Lord supernaturally gave him the gift. No, you have to take the little seed of the gift and you have to work it when no one's watching. When he was bad. I'm sure Victor was bad back in the day, but he kept practicing it until he finally got decent. Right? We let him up here. No, I'm teasing. And now you go, oh, we love Victor up there. We love it, love it. But look, can I just tell you something? If you go, well, I have a gift, and I need to use my gift. Well, when you feel that way and you say things like that, it simply means the gift is really about you. It's not about the people who need the gift. God never gave you a gift for you. If not, you'd just be ministering to yourself. I have a gift, and I'm not going to be happy until I use my gift. I don't want them to see the gift. I don't want them to think about the gift. I want them to think about you, that there's a need. You walk in here with dirty feet. What's the need? The need is we need to create an environment where the presence of God is here. And we do it through worship and singing. And so I want Victor to see the need, that you have a need for the presence of God. Because if the presence of God is here, that means the power of God is working in your heart. And if the power of God is working in your heart, means you're willing to go fulfill the purposes of God that He has for you. That's the need. That's the dirty feet. Are you hearing me? You're not hearing me? Are you hearing me? Yes. Speak back to me. If you're hearing me, go, okay, so what is the call? The call is the need. When we see it, in order to do that, you're going to have to break some new ground in your heart. And so he gets to the third point. He gets to the third point, and he just says this. I want you to seek the Lord. Israel, hey, unfaithful woman, start doing the right thing. Start doing the right thing. Not on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Saturday. Start doing the right thing, not only at your job, but when you're sitting before your computer at home, when you're going to write on Facebook. Let only what's good, noble, right, pure, lovely come out of your mouth. Let it come out. Hey, it's political season. I hate political season. We live in a small town. Politics divides us. Don't even get all wrapped up in that. Stay above it. Stay above it, because we got a bigger mission than who gets elected. Yeah. Do you hear me? We got a greater mission than who gets in the next office. And so you go, no, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. You know what? I'm going to take my next step. I'm going to break up some new ground. I know it's scary. I may not even be very good at it, but I see the need. I see the dirty feet, and I'm willing to wash the feet because that's what Jesus asked me to do. He'll show up. He'll show up. And then thirdly, he says, I want you to seek the Lord. I want you to go to God. I want you to go to Him. Do the first thing. I want you to check in with headquarters, as Pastor Steve mentioned, that we'd go to God every day. Do I believe you ought to make your request known to God? The answer is yes, because the Word tells us to. But I want you to also know that God has requests too. And that maybe He wants to use you. Maybe He wants to use you like He did yesterday. And maybe He'll take your life and make you an instrument, a vessel of which He shares the love of Christ to our community. Again, listen, politicians have called me through the years. They've asked for my advice. You know why they asked for my advice, right? You know why? Because they want to get voted in. And they think if they call me and ask for my advice, I'll tell you to vote for them. That's why they call me. Many of them said, listen, I'm running a poll. And one time there was a politician that said, I'm going to run a poll to see if I should run. And I said, I got a pollster you should call. He said, really, who is it? I said, you got to call God. You got to check in with Him and then do whatever He says. If He tells you to run, then you should run. If He tells you not to run, then you should not run. There's a higher poll that you should take. It's not the poll of the people. You ought to go ask God about it and see what He says, and then you simply do what God asks you to do. You ought to seek God. Do it first thing. It's time. I love the word the scripture says. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. I think of UFC. It's time to seek the Lord. It's, church, look at me. It's time. It's time where you, let me talk to God about it. And let me do what He lays on my heart to do. You receive this word today? I was painting yesterday. We're painting. Actually, I was a cutter, so I was doing this. And then there was the rollers. We all had different jobs. And I'm painting next to this woman. And she's probably grandmother. And I just said, how long you been coming to the church? And she said, oh, Pastor, you, this past Sunday was my first Sunday. And she goes, oh, yeah, this past Sunday was my first Sunday. I was at groundbreaking on Wednesday, and I'm at serve day on Saturday. When is that growth track so I can get in that? And she goes, I'll be there tomorrow. And I'm bringing my entire family with me tomorrow. And I went, that girl ain't wasting any time of breaking new ground. Look at, some of you been sitting here a long time and you haven't broken any new ground in quite a while. The Holy Spirit and Hosea is speaking to us. If we're going to build something new, we're going to need some more people to break some new ground. There's a Melissa Winningham waiting to be set free. There's an Alondaville who's gone through a very difficult season. Over and over and over again. But we're going to need some groundbreakers in the room. Do you receive this word today? Do you receive this word today? The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Let's pray. Father, we hear your word. We hear your whisper. And I know, Holy Spirit, I pray you point the finger the exact location of the ground that needs to be broken. For some, it's areas of our resources and finances. We've been stingy. For some, it's we need to go start a group. Maybe somebody else here, it's time to go through the grow track, become a member, get on this dream team, put my hands to the plow. It may be there. You're specifying a specific step for each of us. And Father, we hear your word today. Father, we'll submit. We realize now that the call is not the call, the need is the call. And Father, that our eyes would be open to see the need so that we could be your hands and your feet to a community that desperately needs you. Lord, thank you. We receive your word today in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe today the breaking of new ground is that you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He came to die. He loves you. He's not mad at you. In fact, he came to forgive you of all you've ever done in your life. He can wipe the slate clean today. In fact, Jesus said it this way, unless a man is born again, he can't see or enter the kingdom. Born again, a start over, a mulligan to redo life. And he's here today and he can forgive you of everything you've ever done. All you have to do is ask him. And it's as easy as A, B, and C. Admit that you're a sinner, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. I'm the chief of sinners in this room. We've all broken his beautiful law. But B, believe that Christ came to be the sacrifice, to pay for our sins for us so we wouldn't have to be the penalty payer, to take away our guilt, our shame, and our sin. And C, confess him as Lord. If that's you today and you're here and you're ready to be born again, to take new ground, to break new ground, the hard ground of your heart, he's here. All you have to do is ask him. I want to pray for you right now. That's you. If you'd like to be born again, no one's looking but me. This is your invitation. Would you just hold your hand up just for a second so I could see? I'm going to pray for you right now. Hold up high. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. I see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. I see it. 11, 12, and 13, and 14, 15. I see your hand. 16 and 17 and 18. I see your hand. 18 hands. Let's pray together. Church, let's add our faith to theirs. Let's say this out loud together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.